When he doesn't respond, I take another step back, almost stumbling as I think about me, the real me only Alex knows. In a pitiful whisper, I tell him, I trusted you.
That was your mistake, not mine.
He touches his left shoulder and winces in pain before a group of his friends file into the room. They offer him condolences and sympathy while I stand frozen in the corner, completely unnoticed. Was it all for the bet? I say above the commotion. The six or so people in the room stare at me. Even Alex. Isabel steps toward me, but I hold a hand up and stop her. Is it true? Did Alex make a bet to have sex with me? I say, because I still can't wrap my brain around Alex's hurtful words. It can't be true. All eyes drift to him, but Alex's eyes penetrate my own.
Tell her, Alex orders.
A guy named Sam lifts his head up.
Well, yeah.
He won Lucky's RX-7. I back up to the hospital room door, trying to hold my head high. A cold, hard expression settles on Alex's face. My throat threatens to close as I say, Congratulations, Alex. You win. I hope you like your new car. As I grab the door handle to leave, Alex's steely glare turns to relief. I calmly walk out of the room. I hear Isabel come up behind me when I'm in the hallway, but I run away from her. The hospital. And Alex. Unfortunately, I can't run from my heart. It hurts deep inside my body. And I know I'll never be the same.
'56, Alex. I've been in the hospital a week. I hate nurses, doctors, needles, tests, and especially hospital gowns. I think the longer I've been in this place, the crabbier I've gotten. Okay, so I probably shouldn't have sworn at the nurse who took out my catheter. It was her cheery disposition that pissed me off. I don't want to see anyone. I don't want to talk to anyone. The less people involved in my life, the better. I shoved Brittany away, and it killed me to hurt her. But I had no choice. The closer she got to me, the more her life was in danger. I couldn't let what happened to Paco happen to the girl I... Stop thinking about her, I tell myself. The people I care about die. It's as simple as that. My dad, now Paco. I was an idiot to think I could have it all. When there's a knock at my door, I scream, Go away! The knock gets more persistent. Fucking leave me alone! As the door creaks open, I hurl a cup at the door. The cup doesn't hit a hospital employee. It hits Mrs. B squarely in the chest. Oh, shit, not you, I say. Mrs. B's got new glasses with rhinestones on them. That's not exactly the greeting I expected, Alex, she says. I can still give you a detention for cussing, you know. I turn on my side so I don't have to look at her. Did you come here to give me detention slips? 'Cause if you did, you can forget it. I'm not going back to school. Thanks for visiting. Sorry you have to leave so soon. I'm not going anywhere until you hear me out. Oh, please, no. Anything except having to listen to her lecture. I push the button that calls the nurse. Can we help you, Alex? A voice bellows through the speaker. I'm being tortured. I beg your pardon? Mrs. P walks over to me and pulls the speaker out of my hand. He's joking. Sorry to bother you. She puts the remote speaker on the nightstand, deliberately out of my reach. Don't they give you happy pills in this place? I don't want to be happy. Mrs. P leans forward, her straight bangs brushing the top of her glasses. Alex, I'm sorry about what happened to Paco. He wasn't a student of mine, but I heard how close you two were. I look out the window to avoid her. I don't want to talk about Paco. I don't want to talk about anything. Why'd you come here? I hear the rustling as she pulls something from her bag. I brought you some work to do, to catch up until you come back to class. I'm not coming back. I already told you. I'm dropping out. It shouldn't surprise you, Mrs. P. I'm a gang member, remember? She walks around the bed, coming into my line of vision. I guess I was wrong about you. I would have bet you'd be the one to break the mold. Yeah, well, maybe that was before my best friend got shot. It was supposed to be me, you know. I'm looking at the chemistry book in her hand. All it does is remind me of what was and what can never be. He wasn't supposed to die, damn it! I was! I yell. Mrs. P doesn't flinch. But you didn't. You think you're doing Paco a favor by quitting school and giving up? Consider it a gift he gave you, Alex, instead of a curse. Paco isn't coming back. You can. Mrs. P places the chem book on the window ledge. I've had more students die than I ever thought possible. My husband urges me to quit Fairfield and teach at some school without gang members who live their lives only to die or end up as drug dealers. Sitting on the edge of my bed, she looks down at her hands. I stay at Fairfield, hoping I can make a difference, be a role model. Dr. Aguirre believes we can bridge the gaps, and so do I. If I can just change one of my students' lives, I can...
Change the world? I interject.
Maybe.
You can't. It is what it is.
She looks up at me, totally undefeated. Oh, Alex, you're so wrong. It is what you make it. If you think you can't change the world, then go on and follow the path already carved out for you. But there are other roads to choose. They're just harder to trudge through. Changing the world isn't easy, but I sure as hell am going to keep trying. Are you?
No.
That's your prerogative. I'm going to keep trying anyway.
She pauses, then says,
Do you want to know how your chemistry partner is holding up?
I shake my head.
Nope. Don't care.
The words almost get stuck in my throat. She sighs in frustration, then walks over to the window ledge and picks up the chemistry book.
Should I take this back with me or leave it here?
I don't answer. She puts the book back on the ledge and heads for the door.
I wish I'd chosen biology instead of chemistry,
I say as she opens the door to leave. She winks at me knowingly.
No, you don't. And just so you know, Dr. Aguirre will be coming to visit later today. I'd advise against throwing things at him as he walks through the door.
When I got out of the hospital after 2 weeks, my mom took us to Mexico. A month later, I got a job as a valet at a hotel in San Miguel de Allende near my family's house. A nice hotel, with whitewashed walls and pillars in the front entrance. I acted as an interpreter when needed, since my English was better than most of the employees. When I went out with the guys after work, they tried to set me up with Mexican girls. The girls were beautiful, sexy, and definitely knew how to tempt a guy. The problem was, they weren't Brittany. I needed to get her out of my head, and fast. I tried. One night, an American girl staying at the hotel brought me up to her room. At first, I thought it would take having sex with another blonde girl to erase that one night I had with Brittany. But once I was about to do it, I froze. I realized then that Brittany had ruined every other girl for me. It's not Brittany's face, not her smile, not even her eyes. All of that surface stuff made the world see her as beautiful, but it was the deeper stuff that made her different. It was the gentle way she wiped her sister's face, the way she took chemistry so seriously, the way she showed her love even when she knew what and who I was. I was about to do a drug deal, something she was adamantly against, and she still loved me. So now, 3 months after the shooting, I'm back in Fairfield, about to face what Mrs. P would call my greatest fear. Enrique is sitting at his desk at the auto body shop, shaking his head. We talked about Halloween night, and I forgave him for whatever involvement he'd had in letting Lucky know I'd been with Brittany. Enrique lets out a long, slow breath after I tell him what I'm going to do. You could die, he says, looking up at me. I nod. I know. I won't be able to help you. None of your friends in the blood can help you. Reconsider, Alex. Go back to Mexico and enjoy the rest of your life. I've made my choice, and have no intention of backing down. I'm not going to be a coward. I need to do this. I need to quit the blood.
For her?
Yeah. And for my papa. And for Paco. And for me and my family.
What good is quitting the blood if you end up dead?
Enrique asks.
Your jumping in will seem like a holiday party compared to this. They'll even make OGs participate.
Instead of answering, I hand him a piece of paper with a phone number on it. If anything happens to me, call this guy. He's the only friend I've got who's not connected. Not connected to the blood, or Brittany. That night, I'm facing a warehouse full of people who consider me a traitor. I've been called a bunch of other things tonight, too. An hour ago, I told Chewy, who'd taken over Hector's position, I wanted out. A clean break from the Latino blood. Just one little hitch. In order to do that, I need to survive their gauntlet. A 360 violation. Chewy, stiff and stern, steps forward with a Latino blood bandana. I scan the onlookers. My friend Pedro is standing in the back, his eyes averted. Javier and Lucky are there, too, their eyes blazing with excitement. Javier is a crazy motherfucker, and Lucky is not happy he lost the bet, even though I never collected. Both will enjoy being able to beat the shit out of me while I can't fight back. Enrique, my cousin, is leaning against the wall in the corner of the warehouse. He'll be expected to participate in the challenge, to aid in breaking whatever bones possible until I pass out. Loyalty and commitment mean everything to the LB. You break that loyalty, you break that commitment, you're as good as an enemy in their eyes. Worse even, because you were one of them. If Enrique steps forward to protect me, he's toast. I stand proud while Chewy covers my eyes with the bandana. I can do this. If it brings me to Brittany in the end, it's all worth it. I'm not going to even think about the other option. After my hands are bound behind my back, I'm led to a car and pushed into the back seat while two people flank me. I have no clue where we're headed. Since Chewy is in charge now, anything is possible. A note. I never wrote a note. What if I die and Brittany never knows how I feel about her? Maybe it's a good thing. She'll be able to get on with her life easier, thinking I'm a prick who betrayed her and never looked back. 45 minutes later, the car is off-road. I can tell by the gravel crunching under the tires. Maybe knowing where I am would take the edge off, but I can't see a damn thing. I'm not nervous. More like anxious to know if I'll be one of the lucky ones to survive. And even if I do survive, will someone find me? Or will I die alone in some barn, warehouse, or abandoned building? Maybe they're not going to beat me. Maybe they'll take me to the roof of a building and just push me off. Se acabó. Nah, Chewy wouldn't like that. He likes to hear the screaming and pleas of strong guys brought down to their knees. I'm not going to give him the satisfaction. I'm led out of the car. From the sound of my feet against gravel and stones, we're in the middle of nowhere. I hear more cars barking, more feet following behind us. A cow moos in the distance. A warning moo? Truth is, I want to do this. If it's interrupted, it will postpone the inevitable. I'm willing. I'm ready. Let's get it on. I wonder if I'll be hung by my hands to a branch of a tree, strung up like a whipping boy. Oh, man, I hate the unknown. Estoy perdido.
Stay here,
I'm instructed, as if I have anywhere to go. Someone is walking toward me. I can hear the gravel crunch with each step.
You are a disgrace to this brotherhood, Alejandro. We protected you and your family, and you decided to turn your back on us. Is that right?
I wish my life was a John Grisham novel. His heroes always seem to be one step away from death, but come up with a brilliant plan. It usually includes hiding information that will ruin the bad guy. And if the hero ends up dead, the bad guy will be ruined for life. Unfortunately, real life can't be wrapped up with a nice little bow.
Hector was the one who betrayed the blood.
I respond.
El traidor.
The response to my calling Hector a traitor is a hard fist to my jaw.
Shit, I wasn't ready for that because I can't see a fucking thing with this blindfold on.
I try not to wince.
You understand the consequences of leaving the blood?
I work my jaw back and forth.
Yes.
I hear crunching stones as a circle of people close in. I'm the bullseye this time. An eerie silence settles over the crowd. Nobody laughs. Nobody makes a sound. Some of the guys surrounding me have been my friends all my life. Like Enrique, they're waging a war inside themselves. I don't blame them. The lucky ones haven't been chosen to fight today. Without warning, I get punched in my face. Attempting to keep myself upright is hard, especially because I know more hits are coming. It's one thing to be in a fight you could possibly win, but it's another to know you've got zero chance. Something sharp slashes my back. Then I get punched in the ribs. Each blow is connecting with my upper body. No inch is left untouched. A slice here, a fist there. I stagger a few times, only to be pulled upright and slammed into another hard fist. I've got a gash in my back and it stings as if flames are licking at my skin. I can tell Enrique's punches because they don't pack as much fury as the others. Memories of Brittany keep me from crying out in pain. I'm going to be strong for her, for us. I'm not going to let them control whether I live or die. I'm in charge of my destiny, not the blood. I have no clue how much time goes by. A half hour? An hour? My body is weakening. I'm having trouble standing. I smell smoke. Are they going to push me into a fire? The bandana is still secured over my eyes, but it doesn't matter because I'm pretty sure my eyes are swollen shut. I feel like caving and falling to the ground, but force myself to stand tall. I'm probably unrecognizable now, hot blood streaming from gashes in my face and body. I can feel my shirt being ripped open, and it's falling off in pieces, exposing the scar where Hector shot me. A fist punches me right there. It's too much pain. I slump to the ground, my face scraping the gravel. At this point, I'm not sure I can make it. Brittany, Brittany, Brittany. As long as I repeat the mantra in my head, I know I'm still alive. Brittany, Brittany, Brittany. Is the smell of smoke real, or is it the smell of death? Through the thick haze in my mind, I think I hear someone saying, "Don't you think he's had enough?" I hear a distant, but distinct, "No." Protests follow. If I could move, I would. Brittany, Brittany, Brittany. More protests. Nobody protests during these challenges. It's not allowed. What's happening? What's next? It must be worse than the beating, because I hear a lot of arguing.
"Hold him face down,"
Chewie's voice rings out.
"Nobody betrays the Latino blood on my watch. Let this be a lesson to anyone else who tries to betray us. Alejandro Fuentes' body will always be marked, a reminder of his betrayal."
The burning smell gets closer. I have no clue what's about to happen until my upper back is touched with what feels like hot coals. I think I groaned, or growled, or screamed. I don't know anymore. I don't know anything anymore. I can't think. All I can do is feel. They might as well have thrown me into the fire. This is a torture worse than anything I could have imagined. The smell of burning skin sears my nostrils as I realize the coals aren't coals at all. The bastard is branding me.
El dolor, el dolor.
Brittany, Brittany, Brittany.
'57, Brittany. It's April 1st. I haven't seen Alex in 5 months, since the day after the shooting. The gossip about Paco and Alex finally died down, and the extra psychologists and social workers have left the school. Last week, I told the school social worker I slept more than 5 hours, but that was a lie. Since the shooting, I've had trouble sleeping, always waking in the middle of the night because my mind won't stop analyzing that awful conversation Alex and I had in the hospital. The social worker said it'll take a long time to let go of my feelings of betrayal. The problem is, I don't feel betrayed. More like sad and deflated. After all this time, I still go to bed staring at the pictures of him in my cell phone from the night we went to Club Mystique. After being released from the hospital, he quit school and disappeared. He may be out of my life physically, but he'll always be a part of me. I can't let go, even if I wanted to. One positive thing that came from all of the craziness is that my family took Shelley to Colorado to see Sunny Acres, and my sister really liked it. They have activities every day, play sports, and even have celebrities visit every 3 months. When Shelley heard they have famous people come visit and do concerts and benefits, if she hadn't been strapped in, she would have fallen out of her wheelchair. Letting my sister choose her own path was hard, but I did it, and I didn't freak out. Knowing it was Shelley's choice made me feel so much better. But now, I'm alone. Alex took a piece of my heart with him when he left. I'm guarding what I have left with a vengeance. I've come to the conclusion that the only life I'm going to control is my own. Alex chose his path. It didn't include me. I ignore Alex's friends at school, and they ignore me. We all pretend the beginning of senior year didn't actually happen. Except Isabel. We talk sometimes, but it's painful. We have a silent understanding between us, and it's helped make me feel like I have someone going through the same sort of pain I'm dealing with. Opening my locker before chemistry class in May, I notice a pair of hand warmers hanging on the hooks inside. The worst night of my life comes crashing back to me full force. Has Alex been here? Did he place the hand warmers in the locker himself? As much as I want to forget him, I can't. I read that goldfish have a memory of 5 seconds. I envy them. My memory of Alex, my love for him, will last my lifetime. I clutch the soft hand warmers to my chest and kneel beside my locker, crying. Ah, I'm a shell of a person. Sierra stands at my feet. Brett, what's wrong? I'm unable to move, unable to pull myself together. Come on, Sierra says, pulling me up. Everybody's watching. Darlene walks by us. Seriously, isn't it time you got over your gangbanger boyfriend who dumped you? You're starting to look pathetic, she says, making sure the crowd gathering around us hears her. Colin appears beside Darlene. He scowls at me. Alex deserved what he got, he hisses. Whether it's right or wrong, fight for what you believe in. My hands are already in fists when I swing at him. He dodges the punch, then grabs my wrist and twists it behind my back. Doug steps forward. Let her go, Colin. Stay out of this, Thompson. Dude! Humiliating her because she dumped you for another guy is plain lame. Colin pushes me aside and pulls up his sleeves. I can't allow Doug to fight my battle. If you want to fight him, you'll have to get past me first, I say. To my surprise, Isabel steps in front of me. And you'll have to get past me to get to her. Sierra takes a place beside Isabel. And me too! A Mexican guy named Sam pushes Gary Frankel next to Isabel. This guy can break your arm with one snap, asshole. Get out of my sight before I sick him on you, Sam says. Gary, who's wearing a coral shirt and white pants, growls to look tough. It doesn't work. Colin looks left and right for support, but can't find any. I blink in disbelief. Maybe the universe was in disarray before. But now it's back in alignment. Come on, Colin, Darlene orders. We don't need these pathetic lamos anyway. They walk off together. I almost feel sorry for them. Almost. I'm so proud of you, Dougie, Sierra says, throwing herself on him. They start making out immediately, not caring who's watching or about Fairfield's PDA policy. I love you, Doug says when they come up for air. I love you too, Sierra coos in a baby voice.
Get a room, another classmate calls out.
But they keep kissing until music plays from the loudspeakers. The crowd disperses. I'm still clutching the hand warmers. Isabel kneels next to me. I never told Paco how I felt, you know. I never took the risk. And now it's too late. I'm so sorry, Isa. I took the risk and lost Alex anyway. So maybe you're better off. She shrugs, and I know she's trying to keep it together so she doesn't break down at school. I suppose I'll get over it one day. It's not likely, but I can hope, can I? She straightens her shoulders and stands, putting on a brave front. I watch as she walks back to class, wondering if she talks about it with her other friends, or if she confides only in me.
Come on, Sierra says, unlocking herself from Doug's embrace and pulling me toward the school exit.
I wipe my eyes with the back of my hand and sit on the curb beside Sierra's car, not caring that I'm ditching class.
I'm fine, Sierra. Really.
No, you're not fine, Britt. I'm your best friend. I'll be here before and after your boyfriends, so spill your guts. I'm all ears.
I loved him.
No shit, Sherlock. Tell me something I don't know.
He used me. He had sex with me to win a bet. And I still love him. Sierra, I am pathetic.
You had sex and didn't tell me? I mean, I thought it was a rumor, you know, of the untrue kind.
I lean my head in my hands in frustration.
I'm just kidding. I don't even want to know. Okay, I do, but only if you want to tell me, Sierra says. Forget about that now. I saw the way Alex always looked at you, Britt. That's why I laid off you for liking him. There was no way he was acting. I don't know who told you about a supposed bet.
I look up. He did. And his friends confirmed it. Why can't I let him go?
Sierra shakes her head as if erasing the words I've said.
First things first.
She grabs my chin and forces me to look at her. Alex had feelings for you, whether he admitted it to you or not, whether there was a bet or not. You know that, Britt, or you wouldn't be clutching those hand warmers like that. Second of all, Alex is out of your life, and you owe it to yourself, to his goofy friend Paco, and to me, to keep plugging along, even if it's not easy.
I can't help but think he pushed me away on purpose. If I could only talk to him, I can get answers.
Maybe he doesn't have the answers. That's why he left. If he wants to give up on life, to ignore what's right in front of him, so be it. But you show him that you're stronger than that.
Sierra is right. For the first time, I feel I can make it through the rest of senior year.
Alex took a piece of my heart that night we made love, and he'll forever hold it. But that doesn't mean my life has to be on hold indefinitely. I can't run after ghosts. I'm stronger now. At least, I hope I am.
2 weeks later, I'm the last one in the locker room to change for gym. The click of heels makes me look up. It's Carmen Sanchez. I don't freak out. Instead, I stand and look right at her.
He was back in Fairfield, you know, she tells me.
I know, I say, remembering the hand warmers in my locker. But he left. Like a whisper, he was there, and then disappeared.
She looks almost nervous, vulnerable. You know those giant stuffed animal prizes at the carnival? The kind practically nobody wins, except the lucky few? I've never won one.
Yeah, I've never won one either.
Alex was my giant prize. I hated you for taking him away, she admits.
I shrug. Yeah, well, stop hating me. I don't have him either.
I don't hate you anymore, she says. I've moved on. I swallow and then say, "Me too." Carmen chuckles. Then just as she walks out of the room, I hear her mumble,
"Alex sure as hell hasn't."
What's that supposed to mean? Brittany. 5 months later. The smell of August in Colorado is definitely different from the smell in Illinois. I shake out my new short hairstyle, not even bothering to smooth the frizzies down, as I attempt to unpack boxes in my dorm room at the university. My roommate, Lexi, is from Arkansas. She's like a little pixie, short and sweet. She could definitely pass for one of Tinkerbell's descendants. I swear I've never seen her frown. Sierra, at the University of Illinois, wasn't so lucky with her roommate, Dara. The girl has divided the closet and room into separate quarters and gets up at 5:30 a.m. every day, even weekends, to work out in their dorm room. Sierra is miserable, but she's spending most of her time in Doug's dorm room, so it's not too bad. "You sure you don't want to go with us?" Lexi asks me, her southern drawl flowing from each word. She's going with a bunch of other freshman girls to the quad, where there's some kind of welcome party. "I've got to finish unpacking. Then I'm going to see my sister." I promised her I'd visit as soon as I unpacked. "Okay," Lexi says, pulling out and trying on clothes to get the perfect look for tonight. When she finds an outfit, she fixes her hair and touches up her makeup. It makes me think of the old me, the one who tried so hard to meet everyone's expectations. When Lexi leaves a half hour later, I sit on my bed and pull out my cell phone. Flipping it open, I stare at the picture of Alex and me. I hate myself for having the urge to look at it. So many times I've tried to force myself to delete the pictures, erase the past. But I can't. I reach into my desk drawer and pull out Alex's bandana, fresh and clean, and fold it up neatly into a square. I touch the smooth material, remembering when Alex gave it to me. To me, it doesn't represent the Latino blood. It represents Alex. My cell phone rings, bringing me back to the present. It's someone from Sunny Acres. When I answer it, a woman's voice is on the other end of the line. "Is this Brittany Ellis?" "Yes." "This is Georgia Jackson from Sunny Acres. Everything is just fine with Shelley, but she wanted to know if you'd be here before or after dinner." I look at my watch. It's 4:30. "Tell her I'll be there in 15 minutes. I'm leaving now." After I hang up, I place the bandana back in my desk drawer and shove the phone into my purse. Taking the bus to the other side of town doesn't take long, and before I know it, I'm walking toward the lounge at Sunny Acres where the receptionist said my sister was. I spot Georgia Jackson first. She's been the link between Shelley and me when I call to ask about her every few days. Her friendly and warm welcome greets me. "Where's Shelley?" I ask, scanning the room. "Playing checkers, as usual," Georgia says, pointing to the corner. Shelley isn't facing me, but I recognize the back of her head and her wheelchair. She's squealing, a hint that she won the game. As I get closer, I catch a glimpse of who's playing with her. The dark hair should have been a clue that my life is about to be turned upside down. But it doesn't fully register. I freeze. It can't be. My imagination must be going berserk. But when he turns around and those familiar dark eyes pierce mine, reality zings up my spine like a lightning bolt. Alex is here, 10 steps away from me. Oh, God! Every feeling I've ever had for him comes rushing back like a tidal wave. I don't know what to do or say. I turn back to Georgia, wondering if she knew Alex was here. One look at her hopeful face tells me she did.
"Brittany's here,"
I hear him tell Shelley before he stands and carefully turns her wheelchair around so she can face me. Like a robot, I walk toward my sister and wrap her in a hug. When I release her, Alex is standing in front of me, wearing khaki chinos and a blue checkered button-down shirt, I can only stare at him, my stomach doing weird flip-flops, making me queasy. The world recedes at the edges, and all I can see is him. I finally find my voice. Alex, what are you doing here? I ask, all tongue-tied. He shrugs. I promised Shelley a rematch, didn't I? We stand here, staring at each other, some invisible force keeping me from looking away. You came all the way to Colorado to play checkers with my sister?
Well, that's not the only reason. I'm going to college here. Mrs. P and Dr. Aguirre helped me get a GED after I quit the blood. I sold Julio. I'm working at the student union and taking out loans.
Alex? In college? His shirt sleeves, neatly buttoned at his wrists, hide most of his Latino blood tattoos. You quit? I thought you said it was too dangerous to quit, Alex. You said people who try to get out die.
I almost did. If it weren't for Gary Frankel, I probably wouldn't have made it.
Gary Frankel? The nicest, geekiest guy in school? For the first time, I scan Alex's face and see a faint new scar above his eye and nasty ones by his ear and neck. Oh, God! What did they do to you? He takes my hand and places it on his chest. His eyes are intense and dark, like they were the first time I noticed him in the parking lot that first day of school senior year.
It took me a long time to realize I needed to fix everything. The choices I made, the gang, being beaten to within an inch of my life and branded like cattle was nothing compared to losing you. If I could take back every word I said in the hospital, I would. I thought if I pushed you away, I'd be protecting you from what happened to Paco and my dad.
He looks up, and his eyes pierce mine.
I'll never push you away again, Brittany. Ever. I swear.
Beaten? Branded? I'm feeling sick to my stomach, and tears sting my eyes.
Shh.
He puts his arms around me, rubbing his hands across my back.
It's all right. I'm okay.
He chants over and over again, his voice catching. He feels good. This feels good. He rests his forehead against mine.
You need to know something. I agreed to the bet, because deep down, I knew that if I got emotionally involved, it'd kill me. And it nearly did. You were the one girl who made me risk everything for a future worth having.
He straightens and takes one step back to look me in the eye.
I'm so sorry, Mujer. Tell me what you want, and I'll give it to you. If it'll make you happy for me to leave you alone for the rest of your life, say the word. But if you still want me, I'll do my best to be this.
He gestures to his clothes. How can I prove to you I've changed? I've changed, too, I tell him. I'm not the girl I was before. And I'm sorry, but those clothes, they're not you.
It's what you want.
You're wrong, Alex. I want you. Not a fake image. I definitely prefer you in jeans and a t-shirt, because that's who you are. He looks down at his attire and chuckles.
You're right.
He looks back up at me.
You once said you loved me. Do you still?
My sister is watching this exchange between us. She smiles warmly at me, giving me the strength to tell him the truth. I never stopped loving you, even when I tried desperately to forget you. I couldn't. He lets out a long, slow breath and rubs his forehead in relief. His eyes look glassy, filled with emotion. I feel my own eyes welling up again, and I gather a handful of his shirt in my fist. I don't want to fight all the time, Alex. Dating should be fun. Love should be good. I'm pulling him toward me, I want his lips on mine. Will it ever be good for us? Our lips almost touch before he pulls away from me. But then he... Oh, my God! He kneels on one knee before me, holds my hands in his, and my heart skips more than a few beats.
Brittany Ellis, I'm gonna prove to you I'm the guy you believed in 10 months ago, and I'm gonna be the successful man you dreamed I could be. My plan is to ask you to marry me 4 years from now, the day we graduate.
He cocks his head as his voice takes on a more playful tone.
And I guarantee you a lifetime of fun. Probably one with no lack of fighting, for you are one passionate mamacita. But I definitely look forward to some great makeup sessions. Maybe one day we can even go back to Fairfield to help make it the place my dad always hoped it would be. You, me, and Shelley. And any other Fuentes or Ellis family member who wants to be a part of our lives. We'll be one big crazy Mexican-American family. What do you think? Mujer, you own my soul.
I can't help but smile as I swipe a lone tear trailing down my cheek. How can I not be crazy in love with this guy? Time away from him didn't change anything. I can't deny him another chance. That would be denying myself. Time to take the risk. To trust once again.
Shelley, you think she'll take me back?
Alex asks her, his hair dangerously close to her fingers. She doesn't pull his hair, just pats his head gently. I feel the tears running down my cheeks at full speed.
Yeah!
Shelley yells with a goofy, gummy grin. She looks happier and more content than she's been in a long time. Both of my favorite people are with me right here. What more could I ask for? What's your major? I ask. Alex flashes me his you can't resist me smile.
Chemistry. And yours?
Chemistry. I wrap my arms around his neck. Kiss me so we can see if we still have it. 'Cause you own my heart, my soul, and everything else in between. His lips finally sear mine, more powerful than ever before.
Wow.
The solar system is finally in alignment, and I got my do-over without even asking for it.
Epilogue. 23 years later. Mrs. Peterson closes the door to her classroom. Good afternoon, and welcome to senior chemistry. She walks to her desk, leans on the edge, and opens her class folder. I appreciate you picking your own seats, but since this is my class, I make the seating arrangements, alphabetically. Groans erupt from the students, the same sound that has greeted her on the first day of school for over 30 years at Fairfield High. Mary Alcott, take the first seat. Your partner is Andrew Carson. Down the list, Mrs. Peterson goes, students reluctantly sitting in their assigned seats next to their chemistry partners. Paco Fuentes, Mrs. Peterson says, pointing to the table behind Mary. The handsome young man with pale blue eyes like his mother's and smoky black hair like his father's takes his assigned seat. Mrs. Peterson regards her new student over the glasses perched on her nose. Mr. Fuentes, don't think this class will be a piece of cake because your parents got lucky and developed a medication to halt the progression of Alzheimer's. Your father never did finish my class, and he flunked one of my tests, although I have a feeling your mother was the one who should have failed. But that just means I'll expect extra from you.
Sí, señora.
Mrs. Peterson looks down at her notebook. Juliana Gallagher, please take your seat next to Mr. Fuentes. Mrs. Peterson notices Juliana's blush as she sits on her stool, and Paco's cocky grin beside her. Maybe the tide was starting to shift after 30 years of teaching.
but she wasn't taking any chances.
And for those of you who want to start any trouble, I have a zero-tolerance policy.
This has been an Audible Inc. production of Perfect Chemistry, written by Simone Elkeles, narrated by Roxanne Hernandez and Blas Kisich, executive producer Jennifer Basick, producers Mike Charzik and Stefan Rudnicki, engineered and directed by Gabrielle DeCure, edited, mixed, and mastered by Ted Scott, music by Michael Whalen. Copyright 2009 by Simone Elkeles. Production copyright 2009 by Audible Inc.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.